Luke chapter number 2, verse number 41. The Bible says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey and sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. He was from the south, no doubt. Kinfolk. Amen. That's what it says. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing him and asking questions. Well, they wrote a song about that, this little story in the Bible. Can you imagine maybe what the conversation might have took place? As they were astonished. They were knocked out of their senses. Couldn't believe here's this 12-year-old boy. And no doubt as their interest was piqued, thinking, okay, there's something different about this kid. What's your name? Well, on my mama's side, my name is Jesus. But on my father's side, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I've always been and always will be. Hey. Where are you from? Well, on my mama's side, I was born in Bethlehem. But on my father's side, I'm from that celestial abode of God and came down that stairway of heaven. And they probably thought, well, what are your plans? Well, on my mama's side, they're going to put me on the cross and crucify me and kill me. But on my father's side, I'm going to rise again from the dead and be alive and forevermore. Go to heaven, prepare a place. I imagine they were just like thinking, whoa, man, this is strange. Knocked out of their senses. And it says, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers, verse 47. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Can I imagine? 3 days, you lost who? You lost the Messiah? Can you imagine as they were talking to God, God, we lost him. Can you give us another one? I'm like, well, that's terrible. Lost him. The Messiah. The Savior. You've lost him. And they sought him sorrowing. Now, you know, your kid gets away from you for a few moments and we go ballistic. Okay, but this was 3 days. And here's Jesus' first recorded words. At 12 years of age, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless now the message that you've laid on my heart for these your people. And I pray that you would speak to us, challenge us from your word. Holy Spirit of God, go up and down every row and aisle and do what I cannot do as I yield myself to you. I pray, dear God, that you'd strengthen this church and you'd continue to use it to do great things. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You all can be seated. Our single most important endeavor in life is to take care of God's business. God's business is the greatest business in all the world. God's business is more important than the plumbing business. God's business is more important than the carpenter business. God's business is more important than the printing business. God's business is the most important business in all the world. You got 100% job security in God's business. Don't have to worry about getting laid off. Amen. Don't have to worry about cutbacks in God's business. Okay. You got a retirement plan that's out of this world. Amen. Okay. You get guaranteed paybacks. Okay. The benefits are more than you can imagine whenever that you're in Father's business. Jesus was always about the Father's business. He said, know ye not that I must be about, I've got to do it. I'm driven by it. I have to do it. Boy, that ought to be the motivating factor in your life, to find the will of God and to do it. Boy, that's, you'll be a success. That's a true success when somebody finds God's will and they do it. okay? And you stay on track. Well, what a blessed day that was whenever I found the will of God and doing the will of God. And man, I've got to be the happiest person in the world. I enjoy what I'm doing. Some people say, man, how in the world do you stand it driving around all the time in this motorhome? Don't you ever get tired of traveling? No. It's God's will. I look forward to it. It's what I do. It's what I am, because that's what God made me for. For me to pass on, well, when are you going to settle down and take a church? Well, that's not God's will for me. It's God's will for your pastor, and praise God, he's found the will of God, doing the will of God. For me, God had something different for me. He wants me to travel around with a horse and drive my family crazy. Amen? Now, hey, God's business, man. Jesus was about the Father's business, though. He was about the Father's business when he made blinded eyes to see. He was about the Father's business when he made deaf ears to hear. He was about the Father's business when he made the lame to walk, when he cleansed the lepers, whenever he healed the sick. He was about the Father's business when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Hey, Jesus' priority was in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his priority. That was the motivating driving force in his life. What is the motivating driving force in your life? I hope it's not to get 150 class buck on the wall. Although that is a good driving force. And I've got one out in the motorhome. You know you got a redneck preacher when he's got a motorhome with a deer head in it. Amen. After the service, I'll sell tickets for you to come by and take a look at it. But you know what? That is not the main thing in my life. Because if that's all you live for, man, that's not much. Okay? Now, it's a blessing, and I enjoy it. I love telling the story, and I brought the preacher out there and showed it to him. But, you know, more important than that is doing the Father's business. Amen? At the roadside rest stop, he was about the Father's business when he was tired and he was weary. Sent the disciples into town, go down by Chick-fil-A and get them some sandwiches and Coca-Colas and French fries and come back. And they pass this lady on the way into town, no doubt. And this lady comes up and Jesus asks her for a drink. She says, wait a minute, you're Jew, I'm Samaritan. You're asking me for water. He said, if you knew who I was and if you knew the water that I had to give you, you'd be asking me for a drink. And she's just like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? All of a sudden, she realized that this was the Messiah, this was the Savior. And that day, she got a drink of that water. That day, she tasted of the living water, and she ran into town. Woo! Got a bunch of people to come back out. Hey, why? I can hear her say, hey, thank you. Thank you for being about the Father's business. Oh, I tell you what a blessing that is. He was about the Father's business whenever he walked down the road and Zacchaeus the tax collector was up in the tree. What provoked him to get in that tree? What caused this fella who was hated by the Jews to want to climb in a tree to see this Jesus, to see this Messiah? Maybe had he heard stories? Maybe had he heard about Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead? Maybe had he heard about blind Bartimaeus by the roadside? Maybe had he heard the great things that Jesus had done? Maybe had he heard about that lady, the Samaritan woman who had gotten saved? I don't know, but he found out some way about Jesus. And that day, oh, Jesus stopped. Little Zacchaeus slid down the tree. And man, that day old Zacchaeus got saved. Woo, that day he went to his house. I can hear Zacchaeus say, oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being about the Father's business. Thank you. Oh, yeah. What a blessing that is to be about the Father's business. Even at his death on the cross, he was about the Father's business. Man, right there, as they were crucifying, after they had whipped him, after they had pulled out his beard and they beat his face and they whipped his back, and there he was practically dead hanging on the cross. And what happens? The thief says, will you remember me in paradise? Even in his death, he was about the Father's business. And he said, yeah, you'll be with me in paradise. And he was with him. And I can hear that thief say, oh, as he got to paradise, oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for being about the Father's business. Thank you, even while you was dying, the last thing that you did was you saved my soul. Thank you for for being about the Father's business. I can hear old Paul and Silas. They were about the Father's business that night. Down there they had Jailhouse Rock wrong before Elvis Presley. They had been beaten and bound. They were in the innermost part of the prison. Boy, they began to sing. They reached down in the heart and they began to pray first. And after they prayed for a while and they prayed for that old jailer to get saved, why else would he have come running unto them saying, "What must I do to be saved?" I guarantee you Paul and Silas were down there having a prayer meeting just like you all did. Prayer is the hand that touches the heart of God. Man, and folks like, "Man, oh God, I pray you'd save that old jailer. That old jailer that beat us. That old jailer that whipped us. That old jailer that's going to fry like a sausage and burn in hell if he don't get saved." I can hear that old jailer, "Would you guys shut up? Shut up that praying. I don't want to hear no more of that nonsense. I'll come down there and lay some more stripes on you." After they prayed for a while, they began to sing. They reached in their heart and pulled out a song. I wonder what kind of songs you reach in your heart and pull out when you're going through a difficult day. We went to the hospital to see a buddy who was dying. And you know what? Whenever we went, and they let us in the hospital. Never had this happen before. In intensive care with all of our instruments. Let us in there with all of our instruments. Gather around his bedside. And that dear saint of God, he said, "Would you play a few licks of Achy Breaky Heart?" "No! Would you play just a few licks of I Want to Hire a Wino to Decorate Our Home?" "No! You know what he asked for? I'm Saved to the Uttermost." He said, "Hey, will you play that song that Joe sang this morning?" My mind just, "Unclouded Day." He said, "Will you play and sing Unclouded Day?" We were in there. We was picking and grinning and singing songs about heaven. And he was laying there lifting his hands up to heaven, praising God. Oh, yeah. Them's the kind of songs that comfort your heart and soul. Them's the kind of songs that mean something. Amen. Oh, and old Paul and Silas reached down their heart and pulled out a song. I can imagine they probably started singing, "I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am. I'm washed in the blood of the precious Lamb." Woo! Hey, brother Silas, isn't it great to be saved? Hallelujah. And I imagine that old jailkeeper down there, "Would you fellas shut up? You're driving me crazy. I can't sleep. You're praying. You're singing. Be quiet." Woo! I tell you what, I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Woo! They're having a time. About that time, the Lord said, "That's enough." Shook that place. Woo! That's when Jailhouse Rock first took place, right there. Shook that jail. Man, the chains fell off. Oh, the doors swung open. Man, they come out, and that Philippian jailer come running into Paul and Silas, saying, "Oh, what must I do to win the lottery?" "No. What must I do to get rid of my wife? She's driving me crazy." "No. Good idea, but no. What must I do to be saved?" I guarantee you, he asked that because there's a couple of boys down there in the jail that were salt. There are a couple of boys down in that jail that was about the Father's business, even in prison, even in a trial, even when they could just be gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep dark depression, excessive misery. Oh, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair. No. They were about the Father's business, even after they'd been whipped, even after they'd been falsely accused, misunderstood, treated like dirt and trash, and here they are down there. "Well, this guy to get saved. What must I do to get saved?" And the Bible says, and Paul and Silas preached unto them Buddha. My King James Bible says he preached unto them Jesus.
Oh, man, in that old day, that day Mr. Jailer got saved, Mrs. Jailer got saved, all the little jailers got saved, they got baptized, they went down to their house, had fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, corn on the cob, whoo, turnip greens, sliced tomatoes, fried okra, pinto beans, had some cornbread, sweet tea with lemon, sugar sweet tea, and had some cherry pie with homemade ice cream. Whoa, let's go eat, man, I'm hungry. Huh? Man, he fed them, huh? He fed them, bound up their wounds. Oh, yeah, I can hear that Philippian jailer say, hey, thank you, Paul. Thank you for being about the Father's business. Thank you, my wife. Thanks you. I thank you. All my youngins, thank you. We'd be burning in hell if it weren't for you. Thank you. Oh, I tell you what a blessing it is to have somebody to say thank you for being about the Father's business. I can hear him say that. Thank you for, may I say, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, may I thank you for being about the Father's business here this weekend. May I say thank you as you were about the Father's business, as you witnessed to the lost, as you put, I got saved stickers on them, as you filled out their decision slips, and you filled out their spiritual birth certificate on the back of that Way to Heaven booklet and gave them to them as a memorabilia. Can I say thank you for being about the Father's business as you took names and mopped floors and took out the garbage? Can I say thank you for being about the Father's business as you parked cars and served food? May I say thank you for being about the Father's business as you mowed grass and as you locked up people in the jail? May I say thank you for being about the Father's business as you drove the old gospel train, as you chased balls, as you played the piano? Hey, thank you for being about the Father's business as you set up tables and chairs. Thank you for being about the Father's business as you shook hands and greeted visitors and made folks feel welcome and at home. Thank you for being about the Father's business as you drove that bus and got up early this morning. Thank you for being about the Father's business as you passed out flyers, visited your bus route, called friends. Oh, thank you for being about the Father's business as you helped set up the Cowboy Carnival, as you unloaded and loaded trailers. Thank you for being about the Father's business as you set up the game frames, pull rolled up inflatables, hey, folding up tarps. Thank you for being about the Father's business as you drove steaks, you cooked on the grill. Thank you for being about the Father's business as you passed out candy. Thank you for being about the Father's business as you sang on the bus. Thank you for being about the Father's business as you helped those bus kids feel welcome and loved. Thank you for being about the Father's business. Someday in heaven, when you have somebody say thank you, boy, that will make it worth it all. Amen. When you've been about the Father's business. Her name was Astasha. We were preaching in Maryland. A bunch of funny talking Yankees up there. We were in Maryland. We was preaching there. And the preacher had never had a big day and never seen more than 250 in his church. And that was when they had the mortgage burning. And he said, Brother Walker, won't have a big day, but don't know what to do. I sent him a packet of information and gave him some instructions. So they did it. They went to work about 3 months in advance, man. They worked and they prepared and they saved. And boy, sure enough, when big day come around, they were ready. Man, we had over 450. They'd never had more than 250. They were just like, wow. They didn't have the beautiful buildings that God has given you. They just had to set up a tent in the parking lot and put all the kids in the tent. That morning, KW preached to all the kids. I preached in the auditorium. We had 14 adults and teenagers walk the aisle to get saved. They'd never seen that many come forward in a service to get saved. And then out there in the tent, oh, there's a bunch. We had 56 saved total that day. And that day, KW preached on the Way to Heaven, used some visual aids. And there was a bus mom that brought her child. Somebody had passed a flyer out to her home, and her kid drove her crazy until she'd bring him. And so she brought him. She came, and she didn't feel comfortable leaving him out there under a tent with some strangers. And so she just thought, I'm going to sit here in the back and just kind of watch and sees what's going on. Very protective mother. And so she sat there, and as KW preached the gospel to the children, she was just soaking it in. And when he had the invitation, he said, if
you'd like to know, you go to heaven, put up your hand. But she put her hand up. She's outside the tent. She's just watching. Come on. That mom put her hand up. She said, now, if you're really serious and you want to get saved today and you got your hand up, I want you to look at me. She looked up. He said, now, if you've got your hand in the air and you're looking at me, I want you to stand to your feet right now. But she stood to her feet. He said, now, if you're standing and you're really serious, you want to get saved, I want you to leave your seat and go right back to Brother Tom right now. Whoosh. Man, a ton of them. All these kids and one mama came there. And Brother Tom dealt with the group that had her boy. And she was right there. And as he was dealing with them and going through the plan of salvation, tears running down that mama's cheeks. And whenever he led them in the sinner's prayer, that mama was praying too. And after he got finished and gave him eternal security and spoke with them about that, that mother with tears running down her face said, sir, could you please go through that one more time? I just want to make sure that I got it. And Brother Tom said by the time he was done, he and her both were bawling and squalling, tears running down their face. She got sweetly saved that day, and he testified about it that night. Hey, I ain't ever seen her since, but you know what? I'll see her up in heaven. And she'll say, hey, Brother Walker, you remember me? I came to that church on that big day. Your son preached. Woo, I got saved in the children's service. Thank you. Thank you for being about the Father's business. Oh, I tell you what, that makes it worth it all. Amen. When you've been about the Father's business. I was preaching in Maryland again. Some of them more talking funny people. And we were back in the country. These folks were more West Virginians than they were Marylanders because they were in that far eastern, that little strip that's between Pennsylvania and West Virginia. That's where they were. More cows than people back there in that part of the country. They had a tent revival. So we was preaching. And that night, a deaf lady came. She was saved. But she'd never been baptized. Her third grade boy came. He wasn't saved. He got saved in the children's service. And then he and his mama both were baptized that night in the horse trough in the old tent. Well, she wanted to meet me, and she asked for me to come. And she could read lips, and she could talk, but it was very, you know, kind of nasal. And I'm not mocking her and making fun of her by any means, but and I'll never forget it. As they brought me up to meet her. I want you to come by my house, and I want you to meet my daughter, and I want you to meet my nun. They're teenagers, and I want them to get saved. I've been praying for them to get saved. And she set up an appointment for the preacher and I to come by. Oh, sure, man, we'd love to come by. We came by, drove by our house, and stopped by there. Mount Nebo, Maryland. No, Mount Nebo, West Virginia. That's right. I just got, the Holy Spirit just reminded me. This was actually, it was real close to Maryland. This actually was in West Virginia. Mount Nebo Baptist Church, country as it sounds. And so we stopped by her house, and she had her daughter and her daughter's boyfriend held hostage in the front living room. And we walked in, and she said, oh, come in tonight. And I want to meet my daughter and then her boyfriend. And she introduced us, and she had a small child in her arms. And she sat down in the doorway of that living room area as a roadblock. And she was a pretty healthy roadblock. And she did the job. Well, we went in there, and she starts praying. Oh, no. See, she's deaf. She didn't think about what if it'd be interrupting us. She was just wanting to get her. She started praying to God. Oh, God, I pray in the name of him. I don't want my daughter to die and go to hell. And she just began to pour her heart out to God. Boy, I mean to tell you. And that teenage daughter, she felt so uncomfortable. But, boy, you could feel the presence of God.
Buddy, she was just praying down the power of God, and we just cut to the chase. We just said, young lady, your mama loves you and wants you to get saved, go to heaven. And we just, boom, went right into the plan of salvation. Her and that teenage boyfriend both were just sweetly saved right there. Tears running down their face. And that mama's still over there praying, oh, God, I'm bringing shame, my daughter. I'm bringing shame, my boyfriend, please. And I went over there and I tapped her on the shoulder. She looked up. I said, your daughter's got something she wants to tell you. And the mama got up, had that little baby, and stood there. And she said, mama, she said, I just got saved. Now, I don't know how that lady did it. But she somehow got rid of that child and got across that table and grabbed that teenage girl and just had a Babdecostal fit. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. And that teenage girl is just getting squashed to death. Woo! She sat down, the teenage girl, and there's that boyfriend. Oh, I'm so happy, I'm so happy, I'm so happy. And he's getting squashed. Oh, she had a time, and she was so excited about it. And about that time, her teenage boy come in the door. He come running inside. He saw what was going on. Mama done lost it. Woo. He turned around, and she, oh, come here, come here, come here. He said, oh, Mom, I'm busy, I got to go. He's under conviction so bad, he just ran out of there. And so we said, why don't you bring him to church Sunday? Do whatever you can, get him to church. You know, all right, hung in there, hung in there. But she did. Sunday morning, man, he was handcuffed. She brought him to church, and you could tell she got there early. And because she had a mission. And she wasn't about to let her kids die and go to hell. Ooh, she was about the Father's business. It boggles my mind to think that parents are saved and they don't even know if their kids are saved. I don't know, you just have to talk to them. I'm thinking, what? She's on a mission. And she showed up early. And I saw her, she got out of the car, she had her baby. And she had that third grade boy by the hand. And then dragging along behind was that teenage boy. Had his hat pulled down. His pants was about to fall off. He come walking, and you could tell he was not a happy camper. He was not there by his own free will. He came in, sat down in the back. We walked inside, and she said, oh, she said, come here, I want you to meet my boy. This is my teenage boy, and I want you to get him saved right now. Didn't even give me a chance to preach to him. I want you to tell you right now. And then she sat down in the next to the last row and started praying again. Oh, God, I'm bringing fame, my boy. I don't want my boy to deny no to hell, and I'm bringing fame. And so here's that teenage boy. He was under conviction. Man, you could just feel God's power and presence again. And I said, hey, buddy, your mama loves you and cares about you, and she don't want you to go to hell. And I know that you've been giving her problems. Ooh, his head went down. Tears began to flow. He was just so miserable, and he was so under conviction that, I mean, he just was sweetly saved right there. Tears running down as God broke his heart. And I said, I want you to tell your mama what you just did. I reached over and I tapped her on the shoulder. She was praying, oh God, I pray your name, my boy, and I know I'm going to hell. And he tapped her on the shoulder. She turned around. I said, your boy got something he want to tell you. He said, Mom, he said, I just got saved. Now, I don't know how she did it. But she set that baby down. And next thing I knew, she jumped the pew. She grabbed that teenage boy and says, oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. That teenage boy is just getting all shook up. And she had a Babdecostal fit right there. Man, she was thrilled to death. I guess, now, I ain't never seen them folks since. But I guarantee you, someday up in heaven, I'll see that lady. And she'll say, hey, Brother Walker, you remember me. I once was deaf. I couldn't hear, but I can hear just fine up here in heaven. And I want to thank you for being about the Father's business. I want to thank you because my daughter got saved. I want to thank you because my boys got saved. I want to thank you for being about the Father's business. Oh, I'll tell you what now. That right there is something worth shouting about. That's something worth praising God for. Something that'll last forever. Amen. Boy, when you've been about the Father's business, and to have somebody to thank you for it, that just means all the world. And on behalf of the folks that's gotten saved through your ministry here, may we say thank you. On behalf of all those 20 that got saved, had those stickers, said, "I got saved today." I was going around and meeting them all, getting my picture taken with them. All those souls that got saved. I like to put pictures of them in my prayer letter as I send it out to people that help sponsor and sustain us and keep us going, to see that these are some folks that they've never met, that they had a part in getting saved. 3 years ago, we was here and you had a big day, and Miss Tina got a little blonde-headed girl by the name of Katie to ride the bus. She rode the bus, first-time visitor, about 8 years old. She got saved out there in the white building behind us, and she was chosen for best behaved. And that day, I was giving away a badge for best behaved, for front-of-the-line privileges. She won the badge. Next lady worker came in. Who did you choose? She chose the exact same person. So she got a double whammy. She got a great big old bag of candy, got the badge. Man, she got saved. Went out there, had a great time, taking her best buddy with her to the front of all the lines. We blew the whistles, sent everybody to the buses, shut down the carnival. Miss Tina's on the bus working, and that little Katie jumped up on the bus, jumped up Miss Tina's lap, put her arms around her neck and said, "Oh, Miss Tina, this has been the best day of my life." And Miss Tina says, "Really? Why is that?" She said, "Well, I got chosen today for best behaved, got Ranger Walker's deputy badge, got front of the line privileges, and the other lady chose me, and I got this great big old bag of candy, and I got saved today." And I thought, that was the best day of her life. And she'll never forget that. Then folks that got saved today, it was the best day of their life. And on their behalf, may I say thank you for being about the Father's business. And if you're here and you've never been personally involved in getting somebody saved, may I tell you that there's still plenty of time to be about the Father's business. And maybe you might need to come down to the front and find yourself a place to pray and say, "Lord, I want to take somebody to heaven with me. I want somebody to meet me in heaven and say thank you for being about the Father's business." And then for those of you that have been about the Father's business, you just need to keep up the good work, because I don't think we've seen everybody saved down here in southern Indiana. And may I also say, we ought to come down here and take a few moments and say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving our preacher a vision. Thank you for these bus workers that work so hard, because this wouldn't have never happened if it wasn't for them bus workers. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to have a part in getting some people to heaven. Thank you for using us. Thank you." That'd be a good thing to do on after a special day like today. Amen. And if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven, you're in the best place you could ever be to get that cared for too. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, bless now. I pray that your will would be done. And Lord, we all would have somebody to meet us in heaven to say thank you. And I pray that our hearts would be tender. And I pray, dear God, tonight the altar would be flooded and filled with people to say thank you for what you've done. And Lord, I want to have somebody in heaven to be able to look at me and say thank you for being about the Father's business. What a blessing that would be.